on this very special edition of Locked On Grizzlies. We're going to play a brand new game show that I just made up. It's called Is It Sustainable? We're going to look at some of the performances of the Grizzlies so far this year and figure out whether or not they are sustainable. We'll do that and more. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston, and as I mentioned, we're going to play Is It Sustainable? Coming up in just a few moments. Before we do that, a couple bits of news. And first of all, I want to say this is the 200th episode of Locked On Grizzlies, which is crazy to me, but it's true. The 200th episode of Locked On Grizzlies. I want to say, I can't even really believe it. It went by so fast, I don't think I even paid attention to 100. You know, I'm cranking these babies out. I should pay more attention to milestones, I guess, like that, but I really wasn't. It wasn't looking, but I just so happened to notice as I was preparing for this one that this is number 200. Crazy. So I am kind of overwhelmed by that number, and I want to say a big thank you to all of you guys that have helped make this thing go, that have given me the opportunity to entertain you for the past 199 episodes. A lot of you have been with me from the very beginning, which is awesome, and I cannot thank you enough for that. And many of you have jumped on over the course of the last year plus that I've been doing this, and I appreciate that as well. It goes without saying, none of this works without you guys listening. None of this works without you downloading it. None of it works without you supporting it. It does not exist. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really appreciate it, and I'm going to endeavor to do many, many more of these as this season, next season, and so on rolls on. So it's been a lot of fun, and I appreciate you guys supporting me. Anything that you want to see from me or from the podcast, please feel free to let me know. I appreciate all feedback. Go ahead and email me, pedmiston@gmail.com. pedmiston@gmail.com, or go ahead and send me a tweet at Peter Edmiston. Either way, it doesn't matter. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you again, though, for supporting the podcast, for all that you have done to get us to 200. Man, 200. Crazy stuff. So feel free to party in your own way. I'm going to bake myself a small cake and enjoy that as I play Is It Sustainable? We'll do that here in a moment. Also, a couple little news items. There wasn't much going on Wednesday from the Grizzlies' perspective other than them flying back. They stayed in Portland Tuesday night, and then on Wednesday flew back to Memphis, landed in the afternoon, and you know, basically hung out with family and got home a little bit. They will practice tomorrow, and today for that matter, before heading back to Houston tomorrow, I guess afternoon probably, to get set for the game on Saturday. Interestingly enough, the couple bits of personnel news surrounding that game. Number one, a bit of news that our buddy John Roser, who is on the call of the Hustle Games along with Eli Savoy on Facebook, if you want to check those out, they do a good job of that. We find out that Wayne Seldon will be making his debut along with Deontay Davis down in South Haven for the Hustle on Friday. Seldon, of course, has missed the entire season thus far with a quadriceps injury, very similar to the one that's been suffered by Kawhi Leonard of San Antonio that has kept him out of action. And so it will be really good to see what Seldon has to offer. And really, from his perspective, he needs to play and he needs to impress, because I don't know that Seldon is going to immediately just jump right back into the lineup. If you look thus far, in terms of regular season, Dylan Brooks has already played more minutes this year than Seldon did last year in the regular season. When you throw the playoffs into the mix, then Seldon's numbers are still higher, but not that much higher. I mean, Brooks has come on and been a real find in the first, 10, 11 games of the season. But that's really, if you look at what Seldon actually played last year, that's not that much different than what he played. So Seldon, I think the assumption was going to be that Seldon would immediately come back and slide in because of his good summer league and what had happened. Well, I don't know if that's the case with Dylan Brooks having earned so much trust and shown the ability that he's got, not so much offensively because those numbers aren't great, but in everything else, he's really sliding in well. He's making plays, steals, blocks, deflections, good defense, helping to kind of glue the whole thing together. I mean, the guy played the most minutes on Tuesday against the Blazers. Very rare to see a rookie do anything like that, as some of my followers on Twitter have pointed out. I like Yoss at Yossick94, who says Dave Yeager would be rolling over in his grave if he was dead, seeing the minutes that Dylan Brooks playing. He's not wrong. But that also means that from Seldon's point of view, he's got to probably go and grab that spot, and he's got to earn that again. McLemore, I think, is going to have the inside leg on starting and just because of the nature of his deal. So Seldon is, if you're a coach, would you just swap out Seldon for Brooks? I wouldn't right now, the way Brooks is playing now. It's unfortunate for Seldon, but that's kind of the way that this thing goes. And in the case of Deontay Davis, the guy just needs to play. He's not played at all, really, to speak of. He had one garbage time game, but that's been it for the Grizzlies this season. Massive disappointment. That was one of the questions for the Jumbo Mailbag Edition about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, somewhere in that neighborhood, that I believe Matt Hurtlicka asked and said, who's the most disappointing Grizzly? And to me, without any doubt at all, it is Deontay Davis. So the fact that he's going to be playing down in South Haven, on the one hand, I am glad that he's going to get some time. The guy needs to play. He needs reps. He needs to get out there and just do something. On the other hand, it's a sad reminder of what has happened, or in his case, what has not happened in his development. He needs to kick it into gear. There is some concern internally about his development and why it has stagnated, why he doesn't look like himself, why there is no pop, why he just has not kicked over and gone to the next level, why he hasn't kept that up. It all looked like it was going to be in a real positive direction towards the end of last year. And you thought, okay, summer league, and you just kind of keep going onward and upward. He's a young guy. He's going to really improve, all that stuff. And it has not happened at all for Deontay Davis. So what will, what will he look like? What can he do? I don't know, but he just needs reps. The guy needs to play and figure it out because they still have hopes for him. They still, think he can be something good in the NBA level. But, the history of guys who have an arc like that, it's very mixed. If a guy comes in and has a stutter step and, kind of goes backwards and regresses a little bit, doesn't, make his mark that second year, doesn't start to shine, that's usually indicative that there's something that's not quite right as a prospect. And you hope that's not the case with Deontay, but who knows? All right, everybody, let's do it. Time to play. Is it sustainable? I should have told you guys, I'm sorry. I should have told you guys before I said that to say it with me. So you got to, let me try that again, okay? When I say is, you say is, and then I say it, you say it, then I say sustainable, and you say sustainable, okay? All right, I'm going to count to three, and then I'm going to go. One, two, three. Is, did you say it? Oh, okay, let me try it again. One, two, three. Is it sustainable? Woo! That's an honor of the nature boy. Is it sustainable? So let's look at a few things so far in the season, and let's talk amongst ourselves. And here I'm relying on you again to talk amongst yourself, hopefully in public, and freak people out. But I'm going to talk to you about this and give you my thoughts about whether or not this is sustainable. We start with Tyreek Evans. Is he the consensus sixth man of the year to start the season? Who can say? Maybe. What I want to know, Tyreek Evans is shooting 49.3% from the field, 43% from three, in averaging 17.5 points per game. What I want to know, ladies and gentlemen, is it sustainable? Boy, Tyreek's been amazing off the bench. Scoring has been extraordinary. The performance has been mind-blowing. He is doing things that he has not done really at any point in his career. So I hate to say it, but I'm going to have to. The answer is no. No, this is not sustainable. And here's why. Right now, Tyreek shooting 49.3% from the field. And bear in mind that a lot of this is coming from his outside shot, which is 43% from three. So really, he's not doing all that well comparatively inside the arc, at least what you would expect. Last year, for example, so this year, again, he's shooting 49%. Last year, he shot 40.5%. The year before that, it was 43, 45, 44, 48, which is pretty good, 45, 41, and 46. 49 has never come into the equation. Only once was he all that close to it. And it's never come into the equation for a team that is as successful as this because he really hasn't been on that sort of team. Now, last year, looking at the three-point shooting, at least in his time in Sacramento, he did match the 43% that he's shooting now with the Grizzlies. So there is hope for that, but I still don't think that's sustainable. This is a guy who in his career has only broken the 34% mark twice. That would be the last two seasons. He shot 39 and 36%. But before that, you're talking about 20s and 30s. Very low numbers. He's at 43 right now. That is probably not going to last either. And his scoring, if you look at per 48 minutes, he's scoring more than he ever has at any point in his career, more than he did during his rookie campaign when he averaged 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. He's scoring 31 points per 48 minutes. That's big stuff. That puts him up there with some of the very best in the NBA, scoring the basketball. That is not sustainable. He won't keep doing that. I do think, though, that because he's shooting the ball so well from the outside, I mean, that's going to come down towards, 37, 38%, but even still, that's going to put him in good position to score a bunch. I think these percentages are extreme, but I do think he's still going to remain very productive in the role that they've got him playing. And as long as he can continue to do that, then he's vital. He's vital. He's so talented. He's so aggressive. He's got such a great feel for finishing possessions and doing the things that have to be done, whether that's in a three, whether that's... He's a bucket getter, and you need that guy. You need that guy when things get sloppy and it breaks down and your normal organized stuff isn't working as well as you'd like it to. You need him to go ahead and finish the job. So he's doing that, and credit to him for doing just that. It isn't sustainable, though, sad to say. Next thing, Chandler Parsons, 48% from the field, 48% from three, averaging 8 points per game, is the best net rating player on the team. Is it sustainable? In this case, I think the answer is a qualified yes. It won't be sustainable to the level that he's at right now. Not quite. I don't know that you're going to see a guy approaching 50% from three all year long. His jump shooting, again, is one of the very best thus far in the NBA. that will come down a little bit. But I think it's sustainable because the role that he's been playing has been so limited. He's not closing out games. He's coming in and very much as the backup four for this team, playing an average of 18 minutes a game. He's missed those two games that the Grizzlies have both lost, due to rest. He can shoot. He's going to keep getting pretty good looks because of the nature of the matchups that he finds himself dealing with. As long as the rest of his teammates can hold up their end of the bargain with regard to scoring, he's going to get those looks. And when he gets those looks, I think knocking him down at that clip is not insane. Again, you have to temper your expectations. You're not getting your money's worth out of Chandler Parsons. That ship has sailed. That is never going to be the case. You're never going to come close to getting $70 million or so of value that's left on that contract. You're never going to get close to that. But he is a productive, important player, and that's more than I expected him to be at this point. And that's still very valuable in its own way. It's just not a max money guy. That's going to be a mistake, and a big mistake from the front office. However, he is salvaging a bit of his reputation, and the way that he's playing, I think, is sustainable. Going forward, we shall see. How about James Ennis? Is James Ennis's play sustainable? 56% from the field for Ennis, 39% from three, getting up and down the court. I will say that Ennis, his ability to be a rotation player is sustainable. His shooting 56%, very clearly, is not sustainable. In that same mold, Dylan Brooks, in general, is his performance sustainable? You're talking about a guy that is fourth in terms of minutes per game for the Grizzlies. Fourth. It's amazing to think where he's come from. And his overall performance, I think it is very, very sustainable because, and really it can be improved upon because his shooting is so bad right now. He's shooting 26% from three. I talked about it earlier in the week, when he pulls up versus when he drives all the way to the basket, when he's a catch and shoot guy, he has not developed or, really gotten his shot where he needs it to be. But even with that being said, he's still averaging almost 9 points a game, four rebounds, a steal and a half, and a block, and a half a block, I should say, per game. That's very productive from anyone, particularly a rookie. Yeah, that's more productive in terms of steals than just about anyone else on the team. He's tied with Mario Chalmers for the team lead. That stuff is sustainable. The way he plays is sustainable. I think he will have the kinds of ups and downs that any rookie will have. He will have those moments like you saw in the Portland game where he really defended Damian Lillard extremely well, where he made some big-time plays. But then he also had some bizarre decisions and some areas where he fell short. That's going to happen too. But overall, I think that what you've seen from him, he's so productive, and he's doing that without really having made any jump shots with any regularity. That obviously will change, and when it does, when it changes for the better, he's going to be in good shape. Mike Conley, 40% from the field, 31% from three. Is that sustainable? And here I am asking, of course, in a negative way, because I hope it's not sustainable. And the answer to that is it's not. One of two things is going to happen with Mike Conley. Either one, it's going to be revealed that his Achilles is worse than he let on, than the Grizzlies let on, and he's going to have to rest for a little bit. If his performances don't get more consistent, that may be an option. But I think more likely it's option B, which is his performances will get better. This is not a sustainable level of bad performance from Mike Conley. He's not going to do that. He's not going to go scoreless in a half the way he did in the first half against Portland. He's going to make some of those shots. He's had, I couldn't possibly, I don't even know who would chart this or who would have this number, but I have to think that Mike Conley, in terms of shots that have gone in and out, coupled with missed layups, he's got to be very, very high on that list of what you would consider shots that ordinarily would go in, that they're just not. He's got to be way up on that list. He is. So many of those threes have rimmed out, having gone halfway down. So many times you saw him in the Portland game and in others miss layups that for him should be just this side of bunnies. That will even itself out. Those threes will start to go in. Those layups will start to go in. And when they do, he's going to be well positioned because he's already driving to the basket, picking up fouls, and you know, sustaining himself via the foul line when things aren't necessarily going well. He's the leading and most active foul shooter for the Grizzlies. That's what you want from him, and that's what he's doing. He and Marc Gasol are right there, 1A, 1B, in terms of drawing fouls. So you couple drawing fouls with what should be an improved shot over the next month or so, that's not sustainable. Conley will get better, will approach an all-star level of play within the next month. Is this rotation overall sustainable? The answer is yes and no. I think that the numbers are going to be the same. And I think the personnel, though, is going to be different. And I don't know what that means for Andrew Harrison or Jarrell Martin, both of whom were going to be cut at the end of this. That was the thought, was when the Grizzlies need to make that cut, it would be those two guys. They've survived. They've started for the majority of the season. But what we've seen from them, it leads the Grizzlies to not be sustainable when it comes to that rotation. It's not. It will change, and the composition of the roster, I think, will change. You know, to me, I would not be shocked if the Grizzlies, I don't think they'd cut both of them. They may not even cut one of them this early on, but it would not shock me once Seldon and McLemore get back into the mix, once you have more of a settled rotation. Would not surprise me to see Andrew Harrison cut and Kobe Simmons maybe get converted from a two-way into a roster guy. Depends on how his development goes too. But they have high hopes for the guy. And he could be faster tracked, because I think that spot is better served for him than for Harrison at this point. And yeah, because Harrison's play, and to a lesser extent Martin's play, it's unsustainably bad. You hope that it's not sustainable that those guys would be in the mix in any way, shape, or form, because there is no question that, in particular, Harrison this year makes your team significantly worse when he's out there. It's hard to play around his deficiencies, and now that he's become a liability on defense, then there's nothing left for him to offer. I don't think that's going to last, and I don't think his time with the big club, and maybe in the league itself, I don't think it can't be long. I'll just put it that way. Grizzlies scoring 102 points per game. Is that sustainable? Yes, absolutely it is. Grizzlies' pace of play being faster than it's ever been. Is that sustainable? Absolutely. I think it will go even higher. They're still not going to get even into the probably top 20 out of the 30 teams in the league. But I think it can go higher than it is right now. They still are, you know, for a team that supposedly got rid of grit and grind and that style of play when they got rid of Tony Allen, Zach Randolph, and to a smaller extent, Vince Carter, for a team that had those thoughts, they sure as hell resemble a grit and grind team. They play slower than most in the league. They limit three-point shooting. They themselves don't tend to make a ton of threes. They don't score a ton compared to some of the other teams in the league. They're one of the best defensive teams in the league. I mean, if you squint and you maybe say, you assume that if you were coming in from like 2 years ago, you might think that, oh, you know, Tony and Zach are just hurt and they're not part of the rotation, because otherwise it looks a lot like, now they're not doing it exactly the same. Style stuff is a little bit different. The way that Fizdale teaches defense versus Jaeger and Hollins is different, but the results are very, very similar. And that brings me to my final one, which is the Grizzlies are third right now in terms of points per possession allowed on defense. Is that sustainable? And if so, what is the potential for that group? If that is sustainable, what does that mean? The answer to me is absolutely yes. What they're doing is extremely sustainable. And in fact, I think there's room for improvement in defensively, because once you replace Jarrell Martin with Jermichael Green, that's a massive upgrade defensively. Massive. Jermichael is a really good defender. Really good on switches. You know, what he has done on smaller guards and wings, spectacular. He's been very good at doing that. If you remember last year, I made a point to talk a lot about it. You know, he picked so many elite guard pockets last year. Jarrell Martin's not doing that. Jermichael can stay in front of guys on switches. Jarrell can't. Jermichael can make up that ground. He's got good positioning. Jarrell doesn't. That alone should bump up the defensive IQ and the switchability and the effectiveness of the switching to a very high level when that switch takes place, hopefully, maybe even on Saturday, but hopefully very soon for the Grizzlies. Same thing is true when getting Andrew Harrison out of the mix, which he kind of already is. That will help too. So all those things have happened. Their run defensively has come in large part with two real impediments playing. You remove those impediments and you overall just kind of make the rotation as a whole much more effective. It's going to make the defense, it's certainly not going to make it worse. So yes, absolutely, that is sustainable from the Grizzlies. Now, what do you think? Let me know. Give me an email, pedmiston@gmail.com, pedmiston@gmail.com. Give me a tweet, @PeterEdmiston. Let me know if you think these things are sustainable, and let me know if there's something else that you want us to take a look at. We could do that on the podcast tomorrow as we get set for a big weekend and the continuation of the 5-game road trip where the Grizzlies are 2-1 thus far. Again, on the occasion of the 200th episode of Locked on Grizzlies, thank you very much to everyone who has made this thing possible, from David Locke and the Locked on Network to, most importantly, all of our listeners out there. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and we'll keep doing it, man. So enjoy your Thursday. You've been Locked on Grizzlies.